All right, guys, pictures up.
Pictures up.
Pictures up.
Let's roll sound.
Rolling.
Rolling.
Sound speeds.
Camera speeds. Two. Awesome. Take two. Mark.
Set up.
And
action.
Welcome to the Penn Cinema Podcast, your behind-the-curtain connection for movie news and reviews. Now, here are your hosts, Penn Ketchum and David Moulton.
Welcome to the show. I'm David Moulton.
And I'm Penn Ketchum.
What's up?
Hey, listen, welcome to the holiday edition.
Oh, my God.
The annual Thanksgiving special edition of the Penn Cinema Podcast.
How full are you right now?
I'm still full.
Me too.
I was a little awkward when you walked in earlier and had to wake me up from my nap.
Yeah, I was shaking.
Right.
I was like, man, come on, it's time to record. It's the middle of the day on a Monday. Thanksgiving was 4 days ago.
Right. And you don't even eat turkey, so what's your excuse?
And you have like stuffing like still like on your face and stuff.
Right, right. Like, so awkward.
Geez. Did you not shower since Thursday?
That was supposed to be just between us. Wow. Did I ever tell you about the guy that fell asleep in theater two?
No.
I mean, theater three. We have lots of people fall asleep all the time.
Right.
No big deal. It happens. But one time, this guy fell asleep. And usually what happens is you go in to clean the theater, and you got your broom and your, we call them butlers, that little plastic bin that's on the end of another.
Right.
So you got these things, and you're clanking around, sweeping up. And if you see a guy sleeping, you try to, like, bang it a little bit more and try to like make some noise.
Yeah.
Well, this guy wasn't having it. He's completely out. So I'm in the hallway. I forget who is the manager on duty, but I just happen to be here. And actually, now that I think about it, anyway, I don't know who the manager was. Anyway, this kid comes out and there was concern that maybe the guy was dead. And we went in there and we were like all standing around him. Like looking at him, like, no, we're pretty sure. Okay, he's breathing. He's definitely breathing. But there was like a small crowd of like ushers and I forget who the other manager was. If anybody's listening who remembers this story, I'd love additional details because I'm getting kind of blurry on it. But anyway, we did wake him up and it was hilarious. And we were like, you don't have to go home, but you can't stay here.
Was he shocked?
Yeah. Yeah. He was pretty, you know.
I almost feel like it would have been funnier just to let him go and see like how long he lasted. And when he woke up, he's like, whoa. Oh, so I'm just halfway through the movie.
Right, and then, right,
like,
right.
Walks out. It's like, it's 8 o'clock? What?
Oh, I wish I had thought of that. Like, let him sleep and wake up in the middle of the second movie.
Right. Like, how long was that movie?
Tell him it's like Thursday.
Yeah.
Came in on Monday afternoon. I woke up and it was Thursday. So anyway, the annual Thanksgiving holiday edition.
Oh my gosh, what a time.
It's amazing. Did you have a nice Thanksgiving?
Yeah, it was great. Was yours good?
It was amazing.
I bet.
It was.
I can only imagine.
Yes, it was spectacular.
Did you go swimming in your pool?
I did not, but I had all the key ingredients. And what I mean by that is food, football, and grandma.
Oh, yep. That's all you need.
Yeah. I mean, I was missing my mom.
Yeah.
But Grandma Bonnie, she puts on a good Thanksgiving.
She pulled it out.
Yeah, it was pretty great. All the little nieces and nephews were there.
Wow.
And here's a true story. Sometimes I tell fibs.
What?
Just because, you know, never let the truth get in the way of a good story.
A side note. I was selling, doing stuff with you on New Year's Eve.
Right.
And I was like, they were like, well, what are we going to do? And I said, well, I'll tell you one thing. Penn's going to tell some stories, and they're not going to be true. But you're going to think they're true right up until the end.
Right until it gets ridiculous.
Yeah.
All right. Well, here's the deal. This is not one of those.
Okay.
This is a true story. I'm going to make a statement.
All right. Then I probably saw this in the paper.
Right.
That's how you know you saw the
You know I'm lying to you when I say you probably read about this. You heard about this on the news, right?
Yeah,
you remember the story. Okay. This is not that.
Okay.
This is an actual true statement. On Thanksgiving this year,
mm-hmm.
with my 10-year-old nephew, I had a catch in the backyard. We were throwing an arrow back and forth.
That doesn't seem safe.
Well, it was not. But in my defense, it was not.
Okay.
Right.
Yeah. Oh, well, clear. Right. Yeah.
So we're good.
I mean, you're the uncle. You can take this risk, right?
I'm Uncle Penn. I'm all right.
You don't have to deal with it later.
Right. Imagine going through your life and Penn's your uncle. Tough break, kid.
Yeah. Talk about it.
That got awkward quick. I don't think playing catch with the arrow was dangerous, except for the part. when it was his turn to throw, I was always like, this kid, like, really, I was like dodging it. I was like,
just like javelin.
This thing could end up anywhere. Anybody who's seen a 10-year-old throw knows. You know,
it's all their strength.
Right. Or nothing. It's nothing. Right. All or nothing. And it could go anywhere.
Right.
It could go behind them.
Well, speaking of going anywhere.
Yeah. Talk to me.
Ghostbusters Afterlife. Ooh,
baby.
What a movie.
What a winner.
It's definitely a movie.
Winner, winner, chicken dinner.
Yeah. And is there going to be a sequel?
Absolutely.
Clearly.
We talked about this before. You stayed for both stingers, right? Yeah.
Yeah. Well, Jason Reitman.
Son of famous original creator. Or is Jason the original creator?
No, he's the son of.
Son of. Yeah. Okay.
He said, there's a lot of time and opportunity for Viggo, the Carpathian, is that how you say it?
I would say Carpathian.
Carpathian. Viggo the Carpathian to make his return. Now, if you've seen Ghostbusters Afterlife, it's basically a retread of Ghostbusters.
Mm.
And they don't mention much. There's some background stuff, but they don't really mention Ghostbusters too much. But guess what he's saying is, don't worry. If you want us to do another movie and then kind of make it the same movie again, we can do that with Ghostbusters too.
Huh.
Don't worry.
So, like Ghostbusters Afterlife Part 2.
Yeah, yeah. Well, he went on in the quote to be like, "Well, how do we know that's the only paint? Because he was a guy in a demon in a painting.
Yeah.
So how do we know that's the only painting of him? Maybe there's a painting of him riding a horse,
right?
Or stabbing some people or something. Like,
right?
It's anything's possible.
Now, while we're on the topic of Ghostbusters, our boy Jason. AKA Encyclopedia Brown.
Whoa.
Encyclopedia Brown had some issue.
Mm.
He did not like us throwing shade at Ghostbusters 2.
Wow.
Yeah, yeah. He said that he thinks that's a legit movie.
You know, here's what I'll say about Ghostbusters 2.
Let me say this about that.
Okay. Let me say this about that.
About that.
Yeah. Ghostbusters 2 is the one that I watched all the time as a kid.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because it was the one that was on. It was whatever.
Okay.
So, like, when I remember Ghostbusters,
right.
I remember Ghostbusters 2. But watching as an adult, Ghostbusters 1 is a superior film.
Obviously.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah.
All right. Now, speaking of Big Red sequels.
Right.
Right. Paramount has greenlit Clifford the Big Red Dog.
They just made that movie.
For a sequel.
Oh.
Yeah. So,
what?
So, you guys like me to talk industry talk sometimes. You like a little peek behind the scenes.
Industrial news.
Industrial news, right. Yeah. So, here's a term that you might not have. You're familiar with this because we've talked about this, but a new listener, and our audience has grown a lot in the last X amount
Two
of
minutes.
Months, right?
Yeah.
From 2 to 3 is a dramatic growth.
It's big.
Right.
Someone walked in the room while they were listening.
Yeah.
And it just, boom!
Yeah.
Metric way up.
This movie, Clifford.
Mm-hmm.
Clifford has legs.
4?
I'm saying the term is legs. That's what you call it when a movie opens and it opens okay, but most movies drop 50%, 60% to the second week.
Oh my gosh, is this what the ZZ Top song was about?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Okay. ZZ Top was in the movie exhibition business.
When they said she got legs,
right.
They were meant the movie.
They were referring to the release of Top Gun.
Yeah.
Right.
Wow.
Which came out that same year.
Wow.
Right. You probably remember.
I do.
It was in the papers.
It was a big thing I was all about.
Right. So Clifford has legs, it's still playing. And by the way, your boy Venom also has legs in its 9th week. Mm. Although I'm here to report today that you have until, no matter which of the 3 Penn Cinemas you partake, you have until Thursday to see Venom, because then that's it. 10 weeks.
Limited amount of time to be disappointed
with
your time.
Right. A limited amount of time from which to squander
your free time.
Your finite amount of minutes
that
God has given you. And if you want to choose to spend how many? 127 minutes. Yeah. Go for it.
If you want to spend your day disappointed, have we got a movie for you?
I don't share that sentiment. But anyway, Venom and Clifford both had legs. Clifford is still cranking. And I was just working up this morning schedules with my managers at other locations. And I think there's a chance Clifford stays right on through Christmas.
Wow.
And this is an example of a good studio like Paramount who's willing to work with the theaters. So on some days, I might only have one show a day. Mm-hmm. And then some days when I have time, I'll have four or five shows. You know, but they're flexible. They're cooperative with exhibitors. And, yeah.
Now, would you say that the reason this movie is doing good is because of the John Cleese cameo?
Obviously.
Yeah, it's the only reason.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. That's what kids come out for.
Right.
Clearly.
Obvi.
So, Keanu Reeves. I mean, since we were talking about him.
What, didn't he have that big movie in the 90s?
Yeah, Point Blank.
Right.
Yeah.
Point Break.
Point Break.
Point Break.
Yeah. Oh,
yeah.
Sorry.
And then
Johnny Mnemonic.
He had the trilogy after that.
Right. What was that one called?
Matrix.
Oh.
Right.
I don't know if I saw that. So Keanu Reeves stated, "The Matrix Resurrections is not a sequel, but instead something autonomous." Now, here's a quote that I like to call corporate BS.
I like to call this quote confusing.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. What he's trying to say is what he thinks you want to hear without saying what he's not supposed to say, which is the opposite.
And I did not want to hear any of this.
Right. So here it is again for you to hear. I saw the film in Berlin in September. Yeah. I saw the film in Berlin in September because, I mean, he had to see it. Not like he was in it. Right.
Well, also, like, what are you bragging?
Yeah.
You've been in Berlin? All right, good for you.
Jeez, you saw a movie?
Yeah.
Gosh.
Whoop-dee-doo.
I saw the film in Berlin in September. It's really good. I cannot tell you what the film is about, because you probably didn't understand it, but I could explain what it is not. It's certainly not yet one more sequel, but something autonomous that contains, however, the three Matrix that precede it in a really ingenious way. It's a very beautiful and weird creation. It also achieves a couple of things that we do not see in action films, meaning it subverts the rules of blockbusters. So here's what I think. Here's what I get from this. Right? I think, okay, he's like, it's not a sequel. Because, you know, some of the characters are recast.
Right, right.
Like Morpheus.
Yep.
And stuff. I think what's going to happen, and this is what people were
speculating,
is that the three Matrix movies happened, and he's the actor that played in them, but then it turns out he's in the Matrix. But it's not like, it's like those movies weren't what actually happened, but he's actually in the Matrix.
All right, I'm gonna vacillate here.
Whoa. I don't have Frodo on speed dial. I can't just call her up when you use those kind of big words. What?
I'm going to contradict myself.
Oh, okay.
This makes me really excited for the movie, and it also makes me really nervous for the movie. Uh-huh. Like, at any given moment, I could argue that Matrix is going to be huge and amazing. I could also argue I'm going to stick it down to Theater 9 because nobody's coming. I mean, what if this film is so, what did he say? Subverts the rules of blockbusters. There's a reason why blockbusters have rules.
Right.
Here's the thing. If you have to tell someone you're powerful, you're not powerful.
That's true.
That's just how it is.
That's true.
Right. So if you have to tell someone that your film is creative and original and wonderful, it's probably not.
Like a good fart, they should smell you coming.
I'm saying.
Yeah. You know who else thought they could subvert expectations?
Clifford?
Rian Johnson.
Oh, your boy.
My boy.
Yeah.
You know, The Last Jedi.
How'd that work out?
Oh, man, it worked out really well for him and all of Star Wars forever. Not.
All right, speaking of a movie that, well, okay, so where do we land on this? Did we just waste 4 minutes talking about The Matrix?
I mean, it's, you know, I think we're excited about The Matrix, but we're trepidation this.
Oh, here's the word. Here's the word. Here's the word. I got it. All right. I got our position.
Okay.
I got our position locked down. Cautiously optimistic.
Ooh. Set it in stone.
Yeah.
Someone get the chisel out.
Right. Carve that up.
Yeah.
A movie that we are already 100% excited for is Ant-Man and the Wasp, Quantumania.
Yeah, man.
This is amazing. And you were reported recently in our staff meeting that you got the memo that production has now wrapped.
Yeah. They called me.
Right.
They said, all right, we're done. We did it.
Right.
Stop bothering us.
Right.
And they hung up.
This is a 22, summer of 22?
I think, well, that's quick. Is it?
I have no idea.
I can't remember. I think it's fall.
Okay.
But it's coming up quick. This is good because we'll start to get like footage and stuff.
Right, right.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's pretty cool. Yeah. What movie did we recently watch where they made fun of Ant-Man?
Did you wear Hawkeye?
Oh, yes. It was in it was Hawkeye, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay. So, speaking of masterpieces.
Yeah, go on.
Because you can't rush a masterpiece.
Right.
You don't just breeze through that. And speaking of iconic trilogies, we're really I'm being all cute, but obviously everybody can tell I'm talking about Trolls.
Right.
Trolls 3.
Oh.
Yeah.
Remember when Trolls 2 was like the biggest movie?
That has confirmed that Trolls 3 will debut exclusively in movie theaters on November 17th, 2023.
Wow.
So mark your calendars, go out and buy yourself a 2023 calendar and mark it November 17th, which will be the 17th anniversary of Penn Cinema.
Wow.
Yep. We're going to celebrate by opening Trolls 3.
Oh, wow. I didn't think that you would ever get that big.
Well,
but
right. Beyond my wildest dreams, David. I was just a young pup laying in bed thinking someday
I could open a mediocre animated film on my 10th anniversary.
17.
For 17 days.
Yeah, so let's talk about that.
Yeah. What do you think's up with that?
Because I call bullshit.
They're like, oh, things won't be back to normal in a year. In 2 years. Not only that, but then they're like, oh, well, you know, we'll put it on PVOD because wasn't that the big thing that it was like really big on PVOD when it came out, second one?
I have no idea, but 17 days is like super cute because that's Christmas, you know, isn't it? No, there's more than 17 days from November 7th. That's Thanksgiving, it must be.
Yeah.
It's Thanksgiving.
I don't know if you know this, but Christmas is on the 25th of December.
Oh, right.
Which is the month after November.
Right, so it's a whole month later. Here's my problem.
What's your problem with Penn?
I'm gonna tell you my problem. Mm-hmm. I got a problem.
What?
It's a problem with people taking something and carrying it too far. Okay, so now I spent my day. That's not true. That's an exaggeration. I spent portions of my morning.
Okay.
That's not true either. I sent a few emails this morning. So that's a portion.
Yeah.
I spent a portion of my morning having a very professional, courteous, and frankly enjoyable conversation with my colleague at Amazon Studios. Working out a release schedule for Penn Cinema to book Being the Ricardos.
Nice.
And Tender Bar.
Don't remember that one.
That's the Bradley Cooper. He opens up this bar and he's trying to get in touch with his feelings.
Okay.
We watched a trailer on this show and talked about it.
Did we?
Yeah, but I'm the one with the memory problem.
I mean, clearly.
Clearly.
I don't remember that at all.
Yeah. Roland. Hit me up. When did we watch that? Anyway, so fine.
Okay.
Amazon wants to release this in December of 2021, and that's their deal.
23.
No. I'm saying Amazon, the people I'm talking to this morning want to release a couple of things, and they have like a 10-day window. But that's great. But we're negotiating that literally a couple of weeks before it opens. For little rinky-dink titles. No disrespect, but these aren't blockbusters, and they're not intended to be.
And they know that.
Right. Trolls should be a movie. It should be a theatrical. I'm not trying to compare it to anything, because we all know it was crap.
Do you think that this is a situation where they know the movie isn't going to perform, this far out. But the last one was so big, they have to bank on people seeing it for 10 days before the news gets around.
Yeah, I guess. I wish they weren't so blasé about, like, oh, and it's going to go on video 17 days later.
Did someone give you, like, a dictionary for Thanksgiving?
Yeah, I wish they would have said, Trolls 3 will debut in theaters exclusively November 17th of 2023, period.
Yeah.
Now, boom. If you want to release it streaming 17 days later, fine. But why does that have to be part of your campaign?
That's true.
And also, 2 years from now, the rules are going to change. Brah.
Oh, brah.
Brah.
Going to lay the hammer
down. Guess what? I ain't buying it.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
Talking about, tell us about a real franchise.
Right, a real franchise. The Fast and Furious.
Right.
Remember when Fast and Furious 9 came out?
No.
You don't.
Uh-uh.
It was earlier this year.
Was it awesome?
It was enjoyable. They went to space.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
You know what my problem is? My problem is I don't remember what number that was.
Yeah, that's
fine. If you had said, remember when Fast and Furious Went to Space came out?
Yeah,
I'd have been like, oh, yeah.
Right, yeah. So the big thing with that is if you saw it in IMAX, there was a special thing.
Oh, right.
It was a Jurassic World Dominion prequel thing.
Prologue.
Sorry. And it was such a non-thing that, like, there was almost no buzz about it, and nobody was talking about it. Now, 9 months later, you can see this prologue that no one cared about and wasn't worth watching online. It's widely available.
After a proper gestation period, it is now being birthed to the internet.
Right. After 9 months.
Yeah.
You too can see this thing and go, huh.
Huh.
Yeah. All right.
All right.
Cool. It's not a trailer. To be clear, if you watch this, it's not a trailer.
Mm.
There's not much to it.
Mm.
That's all I got to say. But it's it's like hitting the news because it's out now.
Yeah.
It's like people forgot it existed.
Right.
And they're like, this thing's here. It's like, wait a minute. Hold your roll. We saw this.
This is old news.
Yeah.
Let's save this next item let's conclude with that.
Okay, because it'll go into the trailers.
Yeah. So Ridley Scott has gone on record announcing to the entire world, for the whole world to see, that he is officially
old.
A grumpy old man.
Yeah. For sure.
You know how, you know those progressive commercials?
Yeah.
You know how at the end of every show, we always say, what are you reading? What are you watching?
Mm-hmm.
Right? I always forget, but what I should write down there is, we watch the progressive commercials. Like, dinner's over and we're like, what do you want to do? Like, let's go watch some progressive commercials. The ones where they say, like, we can't stop you from becoming your parents, right?
Yeah.
They are the best. They're absolute gold.
Those are really smart commercials.
They are really funny.
Yeah.
And so Ridley Scott has just put himself forward as an example of somebody becoming a grumpy old man before our very eyes.
Right.
It used to be that he was a cool, hip director.
And one of the things we'll talk about later is he put out two solid movies this year, but they didn't even bother to brand it as a Ridley Scott. Like, it wasn't like a thing that Ridley Scott was putting out movies. Like, you could see these movies. Well, one of them I saw, didn't know that he directed until after it was over. So
which one was that?
The Last Duel.
The Last Duel, right.
Like, I didn't realize that he was the director. I knew he was involved, but I didn't realize he directed it. But it was like a producer thing.
So when Christopher Nolan makes a movie, or Peter Jackson, or any of the big boys, which, frankly, you would think Ridley Scott would be the big boy.
Yeah,
He's got the resume.
Yeah.
He has an incredible resume.
Yeah.
And yet, you made the comment to me after House of Gucci, oh, how far he's fallen.
Right.
Like, nobody recognizes him anymore.
Yeah.
And maybe that's because he's walking around Hollywood complaining about the kids and their phones.
Get off my lawn.
Get off my lawn.
Get off my Hollywood.
Right. All right. So Ridley Scott is legit, as the kids would say, at me.
Yeah.
It's not a th- it's not how you say it?
It's not quite right. But if there, you get what that, you know why it is that?
I think it's like, me, at me, bro.
Do you want to explain that?
Because when you say something on Instagram, you put like at.
Yeah, you at them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay.
So Ridley Scott, I'll read it in old man words.
Okay, cool. Please.
I don't want the mystery gobble to get lost.
Wow. He's probably, we lost him a while ago.
We lost him when we said about phones.
Yeah.
Ridley Scott is legit blaming millennials. All right, now stop right there. I don't care how this sentence ends. If you made a movie and you're blaming the audience, then you did it wrong.
Then you did it wrong.
You did it wrong.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. That's just how it is.
Yeah, I know. We are not like, hey, it's your fault that we're not the number one podcast in the world.
Now, I'm not going to name names because I'm not like that.
Right.
But I know a guy who had a business and the business was failing and he was in the newspaper and he blamed the community for not supporting his business. And I was like, well, maybe if you ran it better or at all or provided any kind of goods or services that your community wanted.
Right.
They would support it.
Boom.
Like, there's no obligation from the public to buy tickets to see your movie.
Right.
You got to make a good movie.
Yeah. They have other movies they can go see.
There's plenty.
I mean, people are willingly going to see Venom.
Okay. So here's the rest of the quote.
Right.
All right. Ridley Scott is blaming millennials and their phones for poor box office performance. The quote is this. Quote,
ever since those two got together.
Right. Ridley Scott is quoted as saying, quote, I think what it boils down to, what we've got today are the audiences who were brought up on these fucking cell phones, the millennial who do not ever want to be taught anything unless told it on the cell phone.
Well, then if he was smart,
end quote,
he would have sent out a marketing text message that to these phones that said, go see my two movies you've never heard of.
I'm saying this is the most ignorant story of the week.
It's just,
first of all, like, don't blame your audience for not coming to see your movie, which, by the way, we'll talk about in a few minutes. I thought it was great.
Right.
I thought the movie was great.
Yeah.
Both of them. But second of all, like, I'm so over complaining about kids on their phones.
Right.
Like, it's not like we're all on our phones.
Yeah.
I don't want to get into it.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Because it's not kids. It's people.
Right. Yeah, it's not just kids anymore.
Right.
I'll say I have more,
including myself. I'm not trying to point fingers.
When I'm in the theater, I see more adults on their phones.
Yeah.
In the middle of a movie than I do kids.
Yep.
Now, granted, I don't know where he stands, but millennials are kind of adults now. So.
All right.
So I'll hit this one here. Hi, I'm Miyazaki.
Easy for you to say.
Yeah, easy for me to say, because I'm a huge fan.
Right.
Do you know who he is?
No.
He's the guy who started Studio Ghibli.
Awesome.
Right.
We love Studio Ghibli.
You currently have a Ghibli Fest going on here. Mm. I don't know if you know that or not. Because in years past, I brought it up, and you've been like, I'm sorry, what?
I only know it because I was working on the schedule.
Okay, cool. Yeah, right. So you have Ghibli Fest going on.
Yeah. Is that wrong? Should I know that kind of stuff?
I feel like you should.
I feel like you should know stuff.
There's a big standee out there about it. It's been out there for months because it's a month-long event.
Right.
All right. So Hayao Miyazaki he's 80.
Mm.
And
going to make one more.
Yeah, he's going to make one more film. And it's going to be called How Do You Live? Question mark. How Do You Live?
How Do You Live?
It's off of based off a book. I don't know much about it.
His book?
No, he didn't write it.
Okay.
But he doesn't, like, some of his stuff is based off of other works, like The Secret Life of Arrietty. Is it Secret Life? Arrietty? Arrietty is based off The Borrowers, but it's not really The Borrowers, but it's based off The Borrowers.
Fun fact, when I was little,
mm-hmm.
like before you had a choice of like choosing your own entertainment, I was a huge fan of The Borrowers.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
I saw it on a movie screen in the basement of my church.
Whoa.
Yep.
That's crazy.
Thanks. So, shout out to Grandma Robin, my mom, who took me. We loved
what it. What a blessing.
It was amazing. So he's making one more.
One more. And then he's done.
Mm,
so
good for him.
Yeah. No, his son's been running Studio Ghibli for a while now.
I hope he doesn't die.
Before this is over?
No, period.
Yeah.
But what I'm talking about is like Charles Schulz. Like published the last Snoopy cartoon and then died.
Right, right.
Peanuts, I guess, is the correct terminology there. But like, you know, you hear about creative guys like this who, when they put a finite definition at the end of their career, they get to that finish line and then literally. So I hope he doesn't. I wish him many happy years in retirement.
You probably never seen a picture of this guy.
I have.
You have.
Yeah. He looks great. Cool. Looks like he's 60.
I know. He looks like the coolest dude ever.
Yeah. Right? I would totally want to be friends with him. And the reason why I saw a picture of that is because I did see some I didn't put it together who exactly he was, but I saw that he was making his final film.
Okay. Yeah. 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 All right. Well, we have one final piece of news here.
Big one.
Big one.
Which ties very closely into something, a new segment of the movie of the podcast that I would like to introduce to Sneak.
Yeah.
And the new segment is called Last Week We Forgot.
So last week we were like, the big trailer of our week of the week is so big we want to wait to talk about it. Let's talk about our hypothetical trailer of the week, which we then did, completely forgetting the big one.
Right. So last week we forgot to talk about the Spider-Man trailer.
Which we will get into in a minute. But Spider-Man news.
Spider-Man went on sale at 12:01 a.m. Eastern Standard Time.
Oh, boy.
And broke the internet.
Yeah. It's just, how many, do you have any sold out theaters yet?
We're working on it. I mean, the last time I looked, which was a couple hours. So from midnight till 7 a.m., we sold over 1,000 tickets in Lititz alone.
Holy smokes.
So we don't really have sellouts anymore because of the reserve seating. And so what I mean by that is if there's only like one or two seats, like maybe in the front row or maybe all the way to the left or the right, they will sit unsold until the night of.
Right.
So technically we don't have any sellouts. Now what is interesting is IMAX is going to sell out.
Whoa.
Because as of like lunchtime, we were at 300 out of 420 available seats for the 6:30 p.m. Thursday evening
show.
Get
your tickets. More about times later, but yeah.
Yeah. Crazy. So what I did this morning was counted auditoriums. Like, all right, I'm going to need an auditorium.
You forgot how many were in the building.
No. I need one for Encanto. That's going to have to hold clean. I need one for West Side Story. I need one for Ghostbusters. Probably still going to be clean by then. And I counted out, like, how many screens do I need to hold? Like, do I need to keep aside?
Yeah.
And then I filled in all the remaining screens with Spider-Man.
That's crazy.
Yeah. Because it's just selling so fast. Yeah. You know, it's crazy.
No doubt.
But it's wonderful. It is. And you know, it says a lot about Marvel that this is how I'm describing it. But it's Avengers. It's at the level of Avengers.
Oh, yeah.
Easily. Easily at the level of Avengers.
Yeah. That's crazy.
Yeah. So we put our tickets on sale at midnight. We didn't really have any problems. I guess Fandango crashed.
Yeah. AMC, Fandango, and some other big guys. They all just like...
They must have been asleep at the wheel.
Yeah.
Because littlepenncinema.com, which is where all the cool kids buy their tickets.
Right.
All the cool kids buy their tickets at penncinema.com.
Right. That's what I've always said.
Right. So we sell tickets at penncinema.com. We did not crash.
Right.
And the reason why I say they must be asleep, my competitors, my friends, my colleagues, must have been not paying attention. Because if Little Penn Cinema can be ready.
How come these guys aren't ready?
These guys are multi-billion dollar companies. Come on.
But Fandango seems to crash all the time.
Yeah. How do they not see it coming?
Yeah. I guess Star Wars is the last one, right?
I guess.
When any of these big ones come around, Star Wars, Avengers, whatever.
Yeah.
Fandango always seems to go down.
Yeah.
And it's a horrible site anyway.
Yeah, it is.
I hate using it. It's like, it just takes forever to load.
So. That's why all the cool kids buy their tickets at penncinema.com.
Boom.
Yeah. So Spider-Man's massive. And producer Amy Pascal says this is the last movie of his trilogy, but he plans to do three more movies with Marvel Tom Holland. Can you explain that to me?
Okay. So Tom Holland was like, I don't know what's coming up next. This could be my last Spider-Man.
Right.
We'll see what happens. Like, we might be done. His contract's up.
So this is the last Spider-Man, but probably they're going to have Tom Holland as Spider-Man in Marvel movies.
No.
Oh.
So, well, yes. Yes. So Tom Holland signed a contract for five or six movies. So this is the third Spider-Man movie, but then he was in Civil War.
Oh, right.
He was in Avengers Endgame and Avengers Infinity War. So six movies that he was in, mm-hmm. because they count those ones where they just show mm-hmm. up for a little bit.
Yeah.
So what they're saying now is, like, there's a lot of talk of, you know, the Spider... Amy Pascal works for Sony. And so there's a lot of talk of, like, their Spider-Verse. What's going to happen with that? Are they going to recast Spider-Man to be in that universe? What's going on? There's a lot up in the air with everything. And then are they going to make any more Spider-Man movies? Because they said this is a conclusion to a trilogy with this one. Is Spider-Man going to show up in any of the other movies? Like, what's going on with Spider-Man? And Tom Holland's been vague because his contract's up. But Amy Pascal said, and if she's to believe, that this is the conclusion of this trilogy. However, they are planning, in association with Marvel, as they have been. So we're talking MCU movies, not Sonyverse movies. Mm-hmm. MCU movies. They're going to make three more Spider-Man movies, another trilogy with Tom Holland, which I think is perfect because you have whatever happens in this one, you have an aftermath movie of that. Then in the middle one, they introduce Miles Morales. And in the fourth one, Miles Morales is taking over. And then you have a new Spider-Man.
You mean the sixth one?
So in the fifth one is aftermath of, or the fourth one's aftermath of this one. Then you introduce Miles Morales. And then in the next movie, it's about Miles Morales taking over Spider-Man's
mantle. Amazing. Love it.
Yeah.
So that's exciting.
Yeah.
Yeah. I wonder what it is, and it's a rhetorical question. I wonder what it is about this particular Spider-Man and this particular time in our little universe that triggered such an outpouring of interest in this movie.
Well,
I knew Spider-Man was going to be big. I did not expect it. I mean, in recent weeks leading up, in the last few weeks, I've seen the trailers are great, the interest from the customers. Like, I knew it was going to be big, and we were prepared, and we ramped up, and we put on a shit ton of showtimes. But what I'm saying is, in the bigger picture of things, I didn't predict that this movie would be
especially
quite,
with
quite as massive.
The performance that Marvel's been having.
Right.
I've enjoyed the movies that have come out, but if we're honest, they've been not top-level Marvel films this year, the three that have come out.
We've liked them.
Yes. But they haven't, I mean.
Right. I know exactly what you're saying. It hasn't been exciting.
Right.
Like, it's been fun and it's been good.
Right. Yeah. So here's why. And let's move on. We're moving into trailers now.
Okay.
So we're going to talk about the Spider-Man No Way Home trailer.
Finally.
And this is why.
Last week we forgot.
Right. And this is why. This movie is going to be so popular. So this new Spider-Man trailer, which is amazing, is officially incorporating the other Spider-Man franchise.
Mm.
So if you had someone who loved Tobey Maguire, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that was my Spider-Man. I don't need to know anything about this new Spider-Man. Now you've got those people who have the current MCU people going, oh, no, wait. Come, Doc Ock, Green Goblin, Sandman, they're all going to be in this new one. And if you've got, you know, the two Andrew Garfield Spider-Man diehards, they're going to be there too because you've got Electro in it. It looks like there's a new Green Goblin who could be from any of them or could be a new one. I think it's Flash Gordon. Anyway, you got the Lizard. So the whole idea of, like, these universes coming together and the potential of the other two Spider-Man making an appearance, which they totally are. Come on.
Yeah. And kudos to Sony for keeping that under wraps so far.
Which is crazy. Well, apparently, from what they've been saying, Sony wanted to, like, blow the load right away, but that Marvel's like, hold up.
Yeah.
Slow your roll.
Right.
Yeah. So in this trailer, we see a lot of dialogue. It looks like Doc Ock absorbs some of Spidey's outfit, and you see it, like, going on to him. And then he kind of comes out of his insanity and potentially will be helping Spider-Man in the battle.
Hmm.
You see Spider-Man's going to be doing stuff with MJ and Ned, and you know, this big thing with Dr. Strange going Scooby-Doo this crap.
What's that all about?
I think they've got to solve a mystery.
Why the Scooby-Doo reference?
Because they're kids and they're and I just, I love it. It's like Scooby-Doo this crap. I'm just like, well, I know some magical words starting with please.
Please. Yeah, that was good.
Great. Yeah. And we, you know, we see Green Goblin, we see Electro, and everyone has like upgrades. And the big thing here is I think that it's like a core Spider-Man thing that I love. And this could, I mean, Spider-Man and Batman kind of have these things in common, but Batman is more brutal in his, and that's that they don't, they, Spider-Man doesn't try to kill the guys. But the thing here, the plot that we have here is that Dr. Strange says all of these people are destined to die at the hand of Spider-Man.
The bad guys. Right.
And, and Tom Holland's Spider-Man's like, there's got to be another way that we can save them from dying. Yes. Like, they don't have to die by my hand. So there's an opposition of Dr. Strange wanting to just fix everything.
Right.
And Tom Holland like, we can make it. We don't have to fix it. We can make it better. We can save them. So I think what's going to happen here at the end is we're going to have like a little bit of a mix, and like things are going to go back to normal, but some people might get left behind. There's rumors that Wolverine and Professor X will make an appearance, and that they could wind up being stuck in the universe, and that's kind of how mutants start to show up. There's a lot of like, there's so much possibilities. The other thing to remember here about this trailer, I know I'm dominating all this time, sorry.
I love it.
But another thing about this is Marvel lies. They lie straight to your face constantly. And if you look back at Thor Ragnarok in the trailers, he had two eyes, but in the actual scenes, he was missing an eye. There's a whole, in Avengers Endgame, there's the whole group of people running in the woods, like towards the screen. But at that point, like half of them are blipped away already. Like they're not alive, so they're not even there. There's only like half the people. So Marvel lies consistently in their trailer. And one of the ways that this came up in with this trailer is in Portugal, their version of the trailer has a few seconds more of the scene where Spider-Man's jumping across the scaffolding and you've got Sandman, Electro, and the Lizard jumping towards him. Now the Lizard and Electro seem to be on a different plane of distance, like they're jumping towards him, but not at him, like not, you know, they're someone else.
Yeah.
In the Portugal trailer, which goes a few seconds more, Lizard's head bonks to the side like someone kicked him or punched him in the face, like mid-jump, but there's nothing there. And so they're saying that, that, you know, that's the other, one of the other Spider-Mans or potentially Doc Ock, there's someone else there that they're keeping out of the trailer that hit him in the head, and that that shouldn't have been in that trailer. So just remember, Marvel, when it comes to these big ones, they're not afraid to lie.
Is that the right word?
Yeah, because they're omitting things to make you believe something else.
Interesting.
Yeah. Especially with like the Avengers, where like they weren't all there in that scene. I kind of get the like the Thor one's a little bit less because he just had both eyes.
Yeah.
Whatever. But
you ever talk to a kid about like a baseball game or Twinkies or ice cream or something?
I avoid children at all
costs. Right. All right. Well, you know when you're stuck with a kid.
Right.
Right.
And that was me right now. Just
No. You know when you're stuck with a kid and they're talking about school and you're like, how's school? And they're like, well, it's fine. What's your teacher's name? Oh, it's Miss Fasano. Go recess. And then you start talking about something they're into. And they're all animated, and they and then we play wiffle ball. We do first base out by the tree. We go wherever I read this, and we go this into my bat. I tape duct tape at the end to make the ball go further. And it's really, that's you.
Yeah.
Like I wish our listeners could see like your whole body language changes. Your face is smiling. He's animated. He's bouncing in the seat.
This is why people are excited about this movie.
Yeah,
that's
yeah.
What I'm saying. You wanted to know. This
yeah,
is
you
why.
Demonstrated right. it. It's a beautiful thing.
Right. Now, what did you think about this movie?
I haven't seen it yet.
This trailer.
Oh, I mean, The trailer works 1,000%. And the reason why it works 1,000% is because I picked up on exactly none of the details that you picked up on.
Oh, snap.
And it still made me want to see the movie.
Oh.
I mean, it still was like, oh, this is going to be so much fun.
I love when they're like, what's your name? Doctor. And he's like, Dr. Otto Octavius.
Yeah.
Like, no, no, really.
Right. Like all those funny things that you don't need to be, you don't need to know the backstory to laugh.
Right.
You know, and to be excited about. Like one of the things that I love about it is just the continuation of the concept of a multiverse. Mm-hmm. You know, of all these things. Like that's some Christopher Nolan stuff. You know what I mean? Like I'll bet you Christopher Nolan is going to go see this movie and love it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Unless he's going to be like, was he one of the ones that said bad things about Marvel movies? Can't remember.
I don't think so.
Yeah. Anyway.
Trying to think who that was.
Yeah.
That's like a that's like a Ridley Scott thing to say.
Yeah, it's a definite Ridley Scott thing to say.
These damn kids and their cell phones. All right. Now that wasn't the only, now that was a trailer we forgot last week. We forgot.
Right.
But this week we have a trailer.
So here's the thing. I almost think that we can't say that's trailer of the week because that was last week's trailer of the week.
It's not even on the list this week.
Right.
We didn't get to the trailers yet.
Right. Okay.
We did a whole new segment called Last Week We Forgot.
Exactly.
And in that segment this week, we talked about a trailer that we loved last week.
Right. So this week we had one trailer.
Because we forgot.
Right. And this trailer would have fought me for best trailer.
Absolutely.
Regardless, it's that good.
Give me 10 other trailers. This is still my trailer of the week.
Yeah.
Easily. Good. And we're talking about the movie DC League of Super Pets, which comes out in May of 2022 and stars the voice character acting of Dwayne Johnson, Kevin Hart, Kate McKinnon, John Krasinski, Vanessa Bayer, and a few other great, fun people. I think Keanu Reeves is on that list.
Oh, is he?
Yeah. And this trailer had me LOLing.
Yeah. For,
like, legit.
Here's the thing. This movie premise falls apart before you're even done telling someone what it is. Right? You're like, I don't even care.
Right.
By the end of the, like, someone telling you what the movie is about.
Right. It doesn't matter.
Right. But the
it's irrelevant.
The comedy in the trailer is solid.
Yeah.
I mean, it's family fun.
David.
Solid.
Remember that movie, Look Who's Talking?
Yes.
What was that movie about? Nobody knows. You have no idea. But the reason why the movie was hilarious is because of the comedy, because of the writing. Nobody remembers what the plot was. You know, you heard the baby's thoughts and they were hilarious. And so now you have all the superheroes and their pets, or not necessarily their pets, but you have super pets.
Right.
Right. And I have to admit something to you. I didn't clue in what exactly I was watching. I clicked it and started watching, and I was watching it. I wasn't like doing other stuff, but like in the beginning of the trailer, there's this dog that's like trying to wake up its owner.
Right.
And I didn't really notice, and I didn't really think about what are we doing? You know, his owner, turns out the owner is Superman, but you don't really think about that. You're just watching this trailer and the dog's trying to get him up and he won't wake up and he's sleepy and he doesn't want, he like rolls over and pushes the dog off him. All very typical, like movie stuff,
right?
Where you have the pet trying to wake up the owner. Then all of a sudden the dog is floating in the sky, has the owner in his mouth, and they're both flying like up in the sky of the bedroom, and he drops him onto the floor and that's how he wakes him up. And you're like, oh, wait a minute. This is not an ordinary pet.
No.
This is a super pet.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And something happens that gives a bunch of shelter animals powers.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which is a great idea.
Right.
It's not just the like typical super pets thing. And they're all just like misfits. And I love that Kevin Hart plays this dog that kind of challenges Crypto.
Right.
And he's like, he's trying to tell him what they're going to do. And he's just over there peeing,
like,
dead eyeing him the whole time. Like, yeah.
A bidet, basically a water fountain for dogs.
Right. Right. But even just like, he's like, oh, my dog doesn't get along with other dogs. And Crypto's talking to a regular dog. He's
yeah.
Like, what'd you do? And the guy's like, I bit a FedEx guy. He's like, oh, the Federation of X's.
They're the worst.
The worst.
This movie is going to be so much fun. I think this movie is going to be massive.
I'm totally for it. I want to know what Frodo thinks of this movie because I'm totally for it.
No, you know who I thought of?
Who?
Top 10 Sarah.
Oh,
she's
yeah.
She's going to be out here with all her dogs.
Then you the whole veterinary clinic needs to come out for this.
She's going
to
have the whole clinic out.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. What a time.
Dr. Steed's going to come out.
His last name is really Steed.
You bet it is.
I mean.
My man. Like,
with a last name like Steve, you're bound to be a veterinarian, a jockey, or, you know, like he was destined to work with animals.
Yeah.
All right. Let's move on to our movie review this
week. Well, that was exciting. Before we get to the movie review, there's one more upcoming movie.
Oh.
Now, I didn't see a trailer for it.
Oh.
But I was working on the release schedule. It's being released on Christmas Day. Very limited. Mm. Denzel Washington stars in The Tragedy of Macbeth.
Really?
Written by one William Shakespeare and written for the screen by Joel Cohn.
Really?
Did you know about this?
I didn't.
Nor did I.
So everyone's going to come out and see it.
Well, they're not, because it's only going to play in like two places. But come January, I'm officially putting this movie on your radar.
Oh, snap.
Bucko. I think this movie's...
You know what?
This movie's going to be good.
You know what I have worries about? Cyrano. Ah. It comes out in like 2 weeks. No one's talking about it.
Does it come out in 2 weeks?
It was December or something.
Where is it coming out? It's not coming out at Penn Cinema.
You got a big poster downstairs.
I know I do. I don't know why. Beats me.
Because it ain't coming here.
Well, I'll tell you what.
What?
Like, all kidding aside, you want to talk about the movie business?
Yeah.
What Spider-Man just did at midnight Eastern Standard Time, I immediately said no to all small films.
Wow.
Like, all those middle-of-the-road ones that want to open a normal theatrical release. See ya.
Later, alligator.
Because on December 17th, I do not have a screen for you. Because if I can book an eighth screen of Spider-Man, I'm on
it. It's done.
Done.
Jeez.
It's an easy decision.
Easy peasy.
Easy peasy lemon squeezy. Okay, so movie review this week, we watched Ridley Scott Presents.
A Ridley Scott film.
A Ridley Scott film directed by Ridley Scott. Called Ridley Scott's House of Grief. I knew I could get in there one more time if I tried.
I'm Ridley Scott.
Ridley Scott jaunt.
Yeah.
House of Gucci stars Adam Driver, Lady Gaga, and one no longer skinny Jared Leto.
Jared Leto and Al Pacino.
And Al Pacino.
Yeah.
Your thoughts?
I loved it.
So did I.
Here's the crazy thing. This movie critically panned. Which I didn't know till yesterday.
Oh, it's because of the millennials.
Yeah, their phones. Yeah. And I was like, wait, what?
Yeah.
I thought it was great. I'm out here talking in like with my Italian accent like all over the place.
Yeah.
Father, son, House of Gucci, you know. I don't care about fashion. This is just a solid movie. And one of my favorite quotes in the movie, first off, Jared Leto, unrecognizable. Awesome, hilarious, and tragic at the same time.
Right, right. That's an important third one.
Yeah. And he's like, you know my dad, he's blind in one eye, deaf in the other. Like, I love that line.
Yeah, so good. I will say this about that.
Oh, will you?
Let me say this about that.
About that?
Yeah.
Okay.
First of all, I loved it.
Yeah.
All right? So, whatever. But now I'm going to say some constructive things.
Snap.
The acting is better than the movie.
Oh, yes. Okay.
Yeah, okay.
I think I love it because of the acting.
Yeah. The acting is... find me a film with better acting this year.
Wow.
Good luck.
Yeah.
You know, I'm sure that if we put our heads together, we could come up with something. But this is definitely like... Lady Gaga was amazing. Adam Driver was amazing. Jared Leto was amazing. Al Pacino. Like, they were all... So the acting was amazing. The production was amazing. The score was amazing. Like, everything about it was great. Here's my one complaint. My one complaint is that the plot was so straight line.
Mm.
Like, boy meets girl, falls in love, gets married, family drama, business drama. She puts out a hit. Even the hit is like...
So simple.
These two guys drive up to the apartment building and shoot the guy.
Well, I think that's why they got caught, because it was too simple.
Okay, but I'm saying it's a movie. Like, build some drama into it.
Yeah.
Like, there's, like, you know what I thought of? I thought of, not that it's fair ever to compare a movie to The Godfather, but the scene at the end of the first Godfather where he's settling all family business, you could just show a guy dressing up as a police officer and shooting another guy on the steps of City Hall. But the way they did Godfather, they built up the suspense and they cut away and they cut back and they cut away and they cut back. And, you know, they keep coming back and back and back and back till you finally couldn't stand it anymore. And then all hell breaks loose and they're shooting everybody. I feel like a different director could have done a better job with that scene.
Yeah.
Like, what really happened? They had a car, and the guy was in the car waiting, and the other guy got out with a gun and walked up to the steps and said, "Mr. Gucci," and Adam Driver turned around, and he was waving a gun, and so Adam Driver turned around away from him and tried to run away, and the guy shot him.
Right.
And it played out on screen exactly like that. Come on. You could have done better.
I've done better before.
And then what? After he got shot, he's laying on the steps like in a fetal position. Was that supposed to be symbolic?
Maybe that's how they found him. I don't know, like, if there was new screenshots and they tried to make it real.
I'm just saying.
Yeah.
So with all that being said, don't let me take away. If a friend of mine was like, "What's the deal with that House of Gucci?" I'd be like, "Go see it."
Yeah.
Totally worth it. Great movie. Great. It's worth it. It's worth your $13 or $14 or whatever the price is.
Right.
It's worth it. Go see the movie. All I'm saying is, on this show where we try to give it straight, mm-hmm. right? We don't sugarcoat stuff. I'm not. No. We've never done that.
Never.
We've always been pretty straightforward. Mm-hmm. I'm saying the acting was better than the movie.
Yeah,
which,
I do feel the movie, especially it meanders a little bit.
Yep. And I think that reflects on the poor bastard we were talking about earlier.
He doesn't have a cell phone, so he wouldn't know how to speed things up.
I'm just saying. You know? I'm just saying, like, grumpy old man.
Yeah. I feel like there could have been more to the – if they cut a little of the meandering, and we could have gotten more at the end of, like, how they got caught. Like, I was like, oh, well, what happens next? And then it just, right. like, cut to text. It's like, they got caught. They went to jail. They got caught. They went to jail for this. And it's like, but how? Like, why?
Right.
Like – what, how, I mean, what, okay.
Yeah.
So, but I also highly recommend the film.
100% recommend it. And here's I want to say one more comment, and then, we'll, then we can move on. The people who were in charge of putting together the trailers and the marketing campaign.
Yeah.
They would have made a better movie than Ridley Scott made.
Oh, snap, crackle, and pop. Dang.
I'm just saying.
That's
right?
Hardcore.
Right? Because one of the thing that I heard from a couple of friends who we watch it with
uh-huh.
is a couple of people said, I thought it was going to be a thriller. Like, I thought it was going to be almost an action movie.
Yeah.
You know, a little, some more intrigue, you know, a plot, you know, some. And the marketing team that put together the trailers is why we all thought it was going to be more of an exciting. This is a drama. Mm. This is 100% straightforward drama. Some of us were expecting a spy movie or like a thriller yeah. with some intrigue and some double crossing.
Yeah. I follow you there.
Yeah. Okay. All right.
So I would say
best movie I've ever seen.
My favorite movie of all time.
Right. Okay. We can't keep doing that.
It's my favorite movie of all time.
Because neither one of us can ever remember.
It's my favorite movie of all time or the worst movie I've ever seen.
All right. Well, then this was my favorite movie of all time.
Okay.
Besides The Godfather.
But if we had to mention The Godfather, you would have forgotten about it and said, This is my favorite movie
of all time.
Right. 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 All right. So we got listeners' notes, questions, answers, comments, and
wow,
amazing things.
Yes.
So Frodo hit us up with a bunch of stuff, but a bunch of really good stuff.
Mm. Well, always good stuff.
Yeah. But let's
She's
go
so
over.
Smart.
Amazingly smart. It's way smarter than us, that's for sure. We have 3 points from Frodo this week. Last week we talked about, we made the comment, Hollywood's running out of ideas. Like, what's up with them just rehashing stuff?
No. We made the comment that we're sick of people saying.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
We took offense that people sometimes say, like, oh, Hollywood's out of fresh ideas.
Right. And this is what Frodo had to say. She said, Hollywood running out of ideas is, I think, a different complaint. About industry practices disappointingly favoring safe writing guidelines and familiar IPs. Not that there aren't any good movies made anyway. Arguably, it is a badly worded criticism. In other words, good ideas are still happening, but it's the safe movies that are getting promoted.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's what makes money.
Yeah.
So
I would concur.
And then we talked about Turning Red, to which she commented, Turning Red looks... She's our animation.
She is our animation, yeah. Our resident animation expert.
Right. Yep. And she said, Turning Red looks fun. I like the art direction. It kind of reminds me of Luca somewhat. The vibe I get from the trailer is that the message is something like, it's okay to be gentle and it has worth. In contrast to the common bravery and loud, brazen confidence coming-of-age narrative, which if it is what they're going for, all right, heck yeah. And if it is what they're going for, then it goes to show that there absolutely are still new stories. So then she wrote us a really... I didn't read the whole thing because I didn't want to spoil things. And she wrote an email about Encanto.
Mm.
So I went down to the end. I just skimmed down to the end. She always gives us a TLDR.
Mm-hmm.
And I just got her general...
Wait, should you spell that out in case Ridley Scott's listening?
Okay, Ridley Scott, it means too long.
Didn't read.
Now, I always read her letters.
As do I.
The whole way through, but I didn't do this one because I don't want to spoil Encanto. Because I plan to see it eventually. But this is what she had to say about Encanto. She closed her comments. She said, Encanto, it is fun and charming and delightful and cool and magical and wondrous and nice. It feels more like a Disney movie, the Disney movies I grew up with somehow, from a lot of angles. I'm sorry. It feels more like the Disney movies I grew up from with. Oh gosh, just read this.
Frodo said about Encanto, all that being said, it was fun and charming and delightful and cool and magical and wondrous and nice. It feels more like the Disney movies I grew up with somehow, from a lot of angles. It has a unique and characterful charm to it. Characterful?
Characterful.
Characterful charm to it.
Okay.
I think this one is really good. This one is special.
Yeah. I like that. This one is special.
Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah.
I also am excited to see Encanto. I haven't seen it yet, but yeah. I think it looks great. And I want to go back to what she said about Turning Red. I love the idea. I agree and thought the same thing, that I love the idea of a movie being made with the message that it is okay to be gentle.
Yeah. Yeah. You don't have to be all up on something.
I love it. Yeah. I love it. Joel Codes.
Oh, boy.
Joel Codes wrote us in, and... Was this a rhetorical question or was he legit? I forget if he was legit.
It was a legit question. He wanted to know if it was really happening, right, or if it was happening here.
So he asked, is Dune, that's the movie that came out recently, based on a book by Frank Herbert.
Right.
Came out in 1965.
Did you ever read that book?
Absolutely.
Did you
kidding me?
That book?
Well, David, I read the book.
There's things. You know.
I think when somebody says they've read the book, that statement speaks for itself.
It means that they've read part of the book.
That means whatever you want it to mean. I think when somebody says, I've read the book.
Yeah.
That statement stands alone.
It's all you need to know.
It's all you need to know, David. Yeah.
Okay. All right.
I've read Dune.
Okay.
Portions.
Of Dune.
Anyway, so Joel Codes asked us if Dune's coming into IMAX, and I said absolutely. And sure enough, here we are on Monday, and Dune opens. We'll play in IMAX this Friday, December 3rd at 7:30 p.m., and then 3 showtimes on Saturday and a couple showtimes on Sunday, and then that's it.
Okay.
So if you want to see Dune in IMAX this weekend,
it's the time.
Don't be looking for like a weeknight.
Right.
And then it's also still playing regular shows, and I put a few open caption shows out there as well.
Nice.
Yeah.
Very cool. Very cool. Trailer Master Jason, a boy. He hit us up with some interesting stuff.
Love this
here.
Guy.
All right. Spider-Man No Way Home has the first premiere night showing at 3 p.m. the day before the official release. What's up with that? You showing it at 3?
Yeah. So Jason wrote in, trailer guy wrote in and said, it has the first premiere night. And then he said, any insight as to why it's so early? Do you think it's because of the film being released out 2 days earlier in the United Kingdom, or is this just going to be the new norm? Buddy, I got news for you.
Yeah.
This has been the new norm for the last 3 or 4 years.
Wow.
5 or 6 years. So when we opened Penn Cinema, we, as Jason absolutely correctly pointed out, we used to have midnight shows. And what that meant was that at 12:01 a.m., you had permission to start showing the new Harry Potter movie. You could start trailers at 11:50 p.m. And then the new movie couldn't start till 12:01 p.m. or a.m., I mean. And so we correctly called it a midnight show. And it was awesome. You've been to many of them. And I know Jason has too, and a lot of our listeners have. And they were, for a lot of us, we refer to those as the good old days.
Right.
I mean, it was really fun.
It was a special thing.
It was very special and very cool because the only people that would come out to them were the people that were super excited about seeing the movies.
Mm-hmm.
Or at a bare minimum, somebody who understood that it was a fun night. Like, you didn't get a lot of troublemakers.
Right.
You got no casual, like, I'm bored, you're bored, what do you feel like doing? I don't know, let's go see Spider-Man.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, no, these are fans. These are people who are excited, they're knowledgeable. You feel like you're in a theater with all your, with your people, right? And it was awesome. Then, around the time of The Dark Knight, so, what, 09, give or take?
Yeah.
Warner Brothers, in as far as I can remember, somebody's welcome to write in and correct me. But as far as I can tell, Warner Brothers was the first studio that was like, you know, if we do our midnight show at 10 p.m., we'll probably get a few more people. Because we'll get the diehards, and then we'll also get some people that think it's fun to go at 10 o'clock at night.
Right.
Because if you go to a midnight movie, you're out till 2 a.m.
Right.
Maybe 3 a.m.
And at that point, you're still doing a 10 o'clock and a midnight show.
Right.
Yeah.
So now we're doing 10 p.m. shows, 11 p.m., and a midnight.
Yeah.
Right?
In some cases, it's still like 1 o'clock.
Well, I mean, geez, now you're getting into like Harry Potter, where we played Harry Potter all night long.
Right.
We had a 3 a.m. IMAX, served bagels and coffee on the way out. So there's all that kind of crazy stuff. Then somebody progressed from 10 p.m. and they were like, hey, if we get more people at 10 p.m., we'll probably really get more people at 7 p.m.
Mm-hmm.
So now the midnight shows are kicking off at 7 p.m. And that was 4, 5, 6 years ago. And now, lately, it's been 5 p.m. And the reason it's been 5 p.m. is because that's when evening ticket prices kick in. So studios want to get their little extra couple bucks.
Right.
They don't want to fool around with matinee prices. So a lot of studios, the new movie opens 5 p.m. Thursday. That's the new midnight show.
But what's up with Spider-Man? They don't care about the matinee?
So Spider-Man took it up a notch.
Wow.
They're like, screw it, 3 p.m. Here's what my opinion. I think what they discovered or what they decided or somebody, and I kudos to them. I think it's a good plan. If you start at 3 p.m., you can get three shows. Like in a single auditorium.
Yeah.
You know, so for example, IMAX, you can have a 3 o'clock, a 6 o'clock, and a 9 o'clock. It's a pretty good run, you know?
Yeah.
So I don't think it has anything to do with the United Kingdom. I don't think it has anything to do with anything except the continuing trend of starting midnight shows earlier and earlier and earlier. And what I don't understand, so we, because it's interesting, Jason sent this email into the podcast, but we also got a number of emails from people who said, I'm very confused because I see tickets on sale for December 16th, but every advertising material in the world says Spider-Man opens December 17th.
Mm-hmm.
Are these tickets legit? Are you really showing movies on the 16th? Because it says the 17th. So my question is, all right, you're doing these midnight shows at 3 p.m. on December 16th. Why don't you just advertise the movie opens on the 16th?
Right. Well, it's premiere night.
Okay, I'm just saying, like, that's my question.
Right.
That I don't have an answer to. Jason raised a good question, and I presented an answer to it. Now, I have a question that doesn't have an answer, which is, Why not just advertise the movie opens on the 16th?
Yeah.
Because you know that decision was made 6 months ago.
Right.
If not longer.
Yeah.
So, you know, all the materials say December 17th at the bottom of all the posters. Why not make that 16th?
Because I think maybe it's because if they said it was September 16th, then people would assume that as soon as you opened on the 16th, they could see the movie.
Yeah, it's true.
And that's the whole idea, is that opening day is officially, you open the doors, Spider-Man's playing right away.
Yep. Okay, so anyway, that's the notes.
Yeah. All right, let's move on to what are you reading, what are you watching, what are you doing, what's going on outside of this mighty world of movie theater?
You ever play that game where you have to write down words that start with a certain letter and then everybody who has the same word crosses it out?
Yeah.
Yeah? So that's kind of like us. So we should both cross out Red Notice. And we should both cross out Hawkeye.
Yeah. Right.
So then that leaves me with, I had Thanksgiving.
Okay. Whoa.
Did you have
I did too.
Yeah. Okay. So we both had Thanksgiving. I watched football.
I didn't watch any football.
So I got one there.
Okay.
And I watched Ghosts.
Oh.
On CBS / Paramount Plus, which was really an interesting, it's a little bit of a diversion for me because it's pretty much a TV show. Each episode, like literally, not all sarcastically.
Yeah.
It's 21 minutes. There's no swearing. So that's weird.
Whoa.
It's not the kind of thing we're usually into at the Ketchum House,
yeah,
but
yeah.
We are watching it and we're loving it. And it, you know, reminds us of A Good Place, that Ted Danson show.
Oh, wow.
And we're enjoying it. And I finished season 2 of Succession and just started season 3. And I'm still loving Succession. So I enjoyed, the family and I watched Red Notice, or Amy and I watched Red Notice, and thoroughly enjoyed it.
Mm.
Did you enjoy it?
No.
Oh, I enjoyed it. I thought it was like so fun and stupid. My expectations were low, but what didn't you like about it?
I'm not gonna say it was bad as like horrible as much as it was just like incredibly mediocre.
Yeah, yeah, it was like totally forgettable.
Yeah.
But for the 2 hours that I spent watching it and doing other stuff while I was watching it, I enjoyed it.
That's the problem. I wasn't doing other stuff. I went over to someone's house specifically to watch this movie.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
No.
That's the mistake. If you were just casually watching it at home while you're doing whatever. What, maybe you're playing a game at the same time?
Perfect.
Fine.
Yeah.
But if you're going to get together with friends, maybe not.
You know what Amy did while we were watching it?
What's that?
She slept.
Yeah, perfect.
Yeah. So
that's what my friend Becky did.
That's what she loved it.
Yeah.
So I'm going to let you talk about it because I'm more interested in your opinion than my opinion. But I watched the first 2 episodes of Hawkeye and loved it.
Oh, yeah. I'm loving
it. It's great, right?
I think Hailee Steinfeld is perfect as Kate Bishop.
Yeah.
I love Hawkeye as being, you know, the idea of this new cast taking up the Avengers, you know, the roles. And as a result, they're not playing like the people before, just like super beings. Hawkeye is clearly broken down. He's like a worked horse.
Yeah.
And it's not that he's not capable anymore. He's tired. He wants to spend time with his family.
He's trying to get home for Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
Christmas.
Christmas.
Yeah.
Spend time with his family. I love the fact he has a hearing aid now that he turns off when he doesn't want to see stuff or hear stuff. I mean, and the whole idea, she's like, well, how did you lose hearing in your ear? And then it flashed back to all the explosions. He's like, hard to say.
Hard to say. It's so good.
Yeah, I thought that was absolutely great. Because in these movies, they usually make a big deal about how he has to huff to keep up with everybody.
Right.
But I think it's really cool that they're harking back to his time as Ronin and how he regrets what he did, you know, being a killer and everything. You know, a vigilante killer, not just a murderer.
But. So are they releasing like one new episode a week?
Yeah. So there was 2 episodes to the opening night. They've done that with most of them.
Okay.
2 episodes the opening night and then Wednesdays.
Okay.
New episodes. So get ready on Wednesday for a new one. But I think it's good. It's fun. It's serious and it's lighthearted at the same time. Hailee Steinfeld is great in the role. She's, I don't know. I really like her as an actress.
Yeah.
I think Hawkeye is really gonna, you know, turn out to be something special.
Mm-hmm.
So, okay. So I didn't like Red Notice. I watched that. I've been kind of a little disappointed with Cowboy Bebop, which I was really hyped for. Mm. It's a bit of a letdown.
I think the coolest thing about Cowboy Bebop is the name.
See, the anime is so amazing, but I think the show. It took these half-hour episodes and made them into an hour. It just doesn't. It's not vibing with me. Did you watch any of it?
No. Yeah. I started to and changed the channel.
Yeah, it's not. It's just not the same. It's. I'm like full in Star Trek mode.
Mm.
Tell you what, man. Because Discovery came back for season 4, and I wasn't into the first episode last week. The second episode was great, so I'm pumped about that. But I'm catching up on the animated Star Treks that I purposely let off until this time. So I'm binging Lower Decks right now. And enjoying it, so that's where I am.
Okay.
Now, next week, what are we doing? You want to do Spencer?
Sure.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm down with that. It's still holding out, right?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, good.
Barely, but it's in there.
Yeah.
I think we need to see it because I think Kristen Stewart is going to be up for an Oscar.
Yeah, it does look pretty powerful.
Yeah. I want to see Belfast more, but I want to see Spencer because I'm anxious to
be able to have an opinion about the movie and say that I saw it in a theater.
Boom.
That way, when people are talking about it at Oscars, I can.
Oh yeah, of course. I mean, I have a podcast. You'd be like, I have a podcast.
What,
I would never miss an Oscar contender.
I wouldn't watch that on TV.
And we wouldn't talk about the Oscars no. like we didn't know what was going on.
That was so 2018.
Look, if you want to be a part of the show, the best way to do that is go ahead and shoot us an email, podcast@penncinema.com, or interact with us over on our Facebook page. There's always a bunch of stuff going on over there. So that's the best way to be a part of the show. Yeah. But if you want to support the show, Penn, what's the number one way to do that?
Well, as usual, my supplies are simple.
Yeah.
All you need is a Sharpie.
Whoa.
And here's what you do.
Yeah.
Do you ever eat anything at your house?
It's rare.
Yeah. When you do, you usually get most of it from a grocery store.
Right.
So what I want you to do is take your little Sharpie. Mm-hmm. Now, I don't want to cause trouble.
Right.
And God knows, I'm a rule follower.
Uh-huh.
Right. I'm nothing if not a rule follower.
Right. Right. Consummate.
Right. Right.
Professional.
So what I want you to do is, when you're in the dairy section and you're checking your eggs to see if they're broken, whip your little Sharpie out, and on the inside of the box of eggs, flip the lid open and write, listen to the Penn Cinema podcast.
Mm. That's pretty good. You know what, something else I've been hearing?
What's that?
You got your cash money, right?
Yeah.
You got your Sharpie.
Oh, yes.
On your money.
Yes.
To the Penn Cinema. That's going to move.
Oh, my God. You bet that's going to move.
Yeah. Right?
That's a great idea.
Yeah. Now, if you're, you know, not as brazen and bold as most of our listeners.
Right.
You could just tell a friend.
Or you just tell a friend.
Yeah.
Whatever. If you don't have a friend, you got us.
Yeah.
Yeah, you can tell us.
So. Yeah. All right. Well, once again, for the Penn Cinema Podcast, I'm David Moulton.
And I'm Penn Ketchum.
Take care and party on.
Thanks for joining us this episode. Our hosts would love to hear from you. To contact the show with your thoughts and reviews, email podcast@penncinema.com. This podcast is a production of Penn Cinema. Escape to the movies at Penn Cinema, featuring crisp digital projection, killer sound, reserved seating, and premium power recliners. With locations in Lancaster, Pennsylvania, Wilmington, Delaware, and Huntington Valley, Pennsylvania. Showtimes and tickets available at www.penncinema.com.